I want to talk to you about something that we all struggle with and we need to learn the secret to, and that is overcoming the lust of our flesh. I want to talk to you about overcoming the lust of our flesh. Let's read out loud the word of the Lord today. Do not love the world nor the things in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Say amen. Amen. Let's look at that for just a minute. How many of you know the word lust is a strong word? It is a word that means a strong, insatiable desire. It means a longing, a striving, a yearning for something. And when he says the lust of the flesh, he's talking about your soul. He's talking about your soul, and your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. The things that you think, the things that you feel, and the things that you choose are yearning for something. They are striving for something. They are longing for something, and they're wanting something from the world system, which is anti-Christ. It's against Christ. But also, and the lust of the eyes. That's a reference to your body. Your body has five senses that is in tune to the world system. And your soul and your body are longing for, they're striving for, they're yearning for what the world has to offer them. But I want to talk to you how to overcome that today. Amen? Amen. I want to show you two things in our outline today that will help us to overcome the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And the first thing that you need to write down that's not going to be in your outline is that we've been talking in this sermon series about worship, warfare, and witness. And what we've learned is that God determines the place of worship. Write that down above your first point. Above the first point in your outline, write down, God determines the place of worship. Say amen. All right, God determines the place of worship, and you see that principle, you see that pattern, you see that precept all through the Old and the New Testament. God determines the place for a public worship. God determines the place for corporate worship, and God determines the place for personal worship. And what I want to talk to you about today is the place that God has determined for personal worship to occur. And that is the first point that I want you to notice with me today, and that is that our spirit, I want you to look at this first point, and that is worship involves your spirit. Worship involves your spirit. Look at John chapter 4, verse 24 on your PowerPoint and also in the outline. It says to us that God is what? God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in what dimension? In spirit and in truth. So God is the one who determines the place of worship. He'll determine the place of corporate worship. He'll determine the place for public worship. But He determines the place He wants personal worship to take place. And guess what? That personal place for worship is in your spirit. In your spirit. Now look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. We'll go back to see when God determines the place for worship, He said, I want worship between me and man to take place in a spirit. In spirit. In Genesis 1 26, then God said, let us make man in our what? And according to our what? And according to our likeness. So God created man in His own image. And the image of God, He created him. Now, what is the image of God? What is the likeness of God? Well, we know from John chapter 4 that God is what? And if God is spirit, and He created you according to His likeness, He created you in His image, then you must be spirit. God has created you to be a spiritual being. Well, how did He do that? And let's see that marvelous fashioning of man into the image of God in our next scripture reference. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, let me show you the three phases or the three dimensions of man in this verse. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. The Lord God formed man of dust from the what? Now, that is when God gave man his body. Now, his body was created to relate to the physical dimension of the world. And so God, when he formed man of the dust of the earth, and from the ground, he made his body to have a ability to communicate with the physical world with five senses. What you see, and what you hear, and what you taste, and what you touch, all of those five senses are how you relate to the physical world, how you connect with the physical world, how you receive information from the physical world. And so when God was in his creative mode for mankind, for all of humanity, he created man according to his likeness. And God has the ability to connect with and to communicate with the physical world. And so when God created man, he created man with the ability to connect with and communicate with the physical world through the five senses. Oh, how many of us know all too well that those five senses get us in trouble all the time? Oh, my goodness, you look at our bodies right now. Our bodies are in the shape it is because of our senses. And your senses become your Lord if you don't know how to discipline your senses. I'm going to be entering into another 40-day period of fasting here because I want to crucify my body. I want to bring my body under discipline, and I want an anointing from God that has a double anointing, a double portion with it. And so God formed man of the dust from the ground. That gave him his body. But look at this. And then God added the second dimension to man. He breathed into his nostrils the what? The breath of life. That's when God gave you your spirit. That's when God gave you the place, the dimension within you that you could connect with God. You could contact God. You could receive a communication from God. And when God breathed, he breathed the breath, the spirit of life into you. And Adam and Eve became a spiritual being. Now he's shaped with a body. And now he can connect with a physical world with his five senses. But now God's given him a spirit and he's become a spiritual being. This is where man was made distinct from all the animals. Animals don't have spirit. They've got soul and they've got body, but they don't have spirit. And you've got spirit and you've got body in the creative order here. And now Adam has the ability to connect with God. He now has the ability to operate not only in the physical dimension of the world, but in the spiritual dimension of the world. And so now he can communicate with and receive revelation from the spiritual world, the spirit world. And I want to tell you, there is a spiritual world that is more real or is more real than the physical world that you see, that you hear, that you feel, and that you touch in this life. But then look at the third part of this. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's his body. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's his spirit. And man became a living being, a soul. God gave man a soul, which was, he gave him his mind, which would give him his emotions, and would give him his free will. The free will that you have, the free will that I have, is in your soul. It's a part of the dimension of your soul. And it's free to choose right, and it's free to choose wrong. It's free to choose what the body says, and it's free to choose what the spirit says. And that's fine as long as they are all synced up. As long as they're all dominated by the spirit. As long as they're all responding to what the spirit of God says. But every single one of us have a problem. Say, we've all got a problem. Oh, my goodness. And it's our family. Say, my family's my problem. My heritage is my problem. My lineage is my problem. Oh, that's more true than you know. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Man is fearfully and wonderfully made. God has formed him from the dust of the ground, gave him a body that connects with the physical dimension of the world through the five senses. God's made him a spiritual being by breathing the spirit of life, the breath of life, the God of life into him. And he has the ability to connect with God and to receive communication from God and to enjoy fellowship with God. And God made him a living being. God made him a living soul. And he has a mind to understand what the Spirit is saying. He has a mind to understand what the world around him is saying. He's got an emotion. He's got a heart that will feel what his mind is computing to him. And he's got a will to choose yes or no, left or right, up or down, good or bad, or obedience or disobedience. And then God had to give a warning. God gave a warning because with the soul he gave the free will. And notice what the warning was. In the day in which you eat from the forbidden fruit, you will surely what? Genesis 2:17 says, in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Now, Satan did not want God's eternal purpose with man to be fulfilled. And so he craftily slithered his way into the Garden of Eden. And he began working on this beautiful and fearfully and wonderfully made human being known as Eve. And he began to appeal to her soul. He began to appeal to her body on the things that she could see and the things that she could taste and on the things that she could understand with her mind. And when he got her operating with him and listening to him, remember, as a spiritual being, she can have contact and communication and revelation from spiritual world, from the spiritual being. And now the spirit being, this serpent, the devil, a created fallen angel, now is communicating with her, making from the appeal of her body and from the appeal of her soul. Said, just look at this tree. Look at this fruit. God has kept something from you. God doesn't want you to know what He knows. God doesn't want you to be like Him. God doesn't want you to know good from evil. God doesn't want you to do the... He's keeping this beautiful fruit from you. How many of us have fallen into that same lie? Oh my goodness. Just talk about the subject of sex for just a minute. There are so many people that are falling under the spell of Lucifer, thinking that sex is something God's keeping from you. And so he says, go ahead and enjoy this now before God said you should. And go ahead and do this because God knows that you're going to have a whole lot of fun and you won't have to go to Him for fun when you do this. But He's a liar. Satan is a liar. And so He appeals to your soul and He appeals to your body and said, man, if it feels good, do it. Oh my goodness. And here in the Garden of Eden, here Eve was, and now she is not relying on her spirit. She's relying on her soul and she's relying on her body. And now her soul and now her body begins to crave something, begins to long for something, begins to want something that God said she didn't need. And God said you shouldn't have. And I want to tell you, every time that you enter into a battle, anytime you enter into a warfare, anytime you enter into an engagement with the spiritual world, and you only operate with the realm of your soul and the realm of your body, you're going to lose that battle every single time. I want to tell you, you need to learn to operate with your spirit. Amen. And you need to know what the Spirit is saying to do with this and that. And they didn't. And they ate from that and they died. Well, what died? Their spirit died. Their ability to connect with God and their ability to receive communication from God died right then and there through their spirit. And now every person born from Adam and Eve on, including you and me and yours and mine and theirs, are all born with the same problem. We are born dead spiritually. We're born dead without the capacity, without the ability to connect and commune and fellowship with God spirit to spirit. Listen to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Oh my goodness, worship involves your spirit, but if your spirit's dead, you never worship. If your spirit is not in operation, if your spirit is not nurtured, if your spirit is not matured, even after your spirit is made alive, you never worship God in spirit and truth. God determines where worship takes place. And God has determined for worship to involve your spirit. So much of religion only wants worship to involve your mind. And only wants worship to involve your body. But that's only going to satisfy the lust of your eyes and the lust of your soul. It's not going to involve, it's not going to satisfy the lust of your, the desire of your spirit, the need of your spirit. Well, how does God change this? John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus talking to a man named Nicodemus. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, listen to what he says. Jesus answered to Nicodemus and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because that which is born of the flesh is what? That which is born of the soul is soul. And that which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. Somebody say, amen. Oh my goodness. Now I've given you an illustration in your outline. I think it's on the PowerPoint to show you these three dimensions. We're going to have more to say about that. In that dimension, this is the in their spirit is where God has determined for worship to occur. Now in your spirit, go ahead and write these three things down. Conscience, C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. That's different than conscious. If your eyes are open right now, you're conscious, but it doesn't necessarily mean you got a conscience. Amen. Well, what's your conscience? Your conscience is that thing that makes you want to confess to your wife before your wife knows you have anything to confess. All right, we'll get it. So conscience. And then fellowship. And then intuition. In your spirit is where God has embedded conscience, fellowship, and intuition. Can somebody say amen? Now, I'm going to have more to say about that in just a moment. But what about your soul? Your soul is where your mind, write down mind, feelings, and will or choices. Mind, emotions or feelings, and will or choices comes from your soul. And then under body, I want you to write down sight, sound, smell, hear, hearing, and tasting. The five senses operate from the body, the soul, and the spirit. If you got that, say amen. Oh my goodness. So God determines, God determines the place for our worship. And it's great when we have spirit, soul, and body all synced up, and our mind is on the Lord, our bodies are presented to the Lord, and our spirit is connected and filled with the presence of the Lord. Amen? But when you're born into this world, you're born, if you want to put an X by spirit. Your spirit's dead. Your spirit's not alive. And so all you've got is your mind, emotions, and will, and your body. And so you go through with this desire to be religious, and you learn how to be conformed to the world. And the way the world says that you ought to live. And when you are raised in an environment, when you're raised in an atmosphere unless your spirit comes alive and your mind gets renewed and your body gets transformed, then you live the way you were raised. When you live the way that you were raised, then it seems right to you because that's what you lived. That's how you saw a daddy treat a mama. That's how you saw a mama respond to a daddy. That's how you saw children respond to mamas and daddies. If you didn't have a daddy, you learned to cope and compensate without a daddy. If you didn't have a mama, you learned to compensate without a mama. And all of that, and so you just begin to reproduce what you were produced around. But oh my goodness, when your spirit comes alive, then God wants to make a difference in the way that you think, the way that you feel, and the way that you choose. And that's why when your spirit is made alive and your soul begins to get saturated with truth and gets transformed, then you begin to change. You don't get changed to get your spirit alive. When you get your spirit alive, it begins changing your soul. Amen? And oh my goodness, God has so much for us. So if you understand this, God delivers the power. God determines the place for our worship. And where's the place that God's determined for worship to occur? In our spirit. And so you got to be made spiritually alive if you ever want to worship God in spirit and truth. But now number two, write down this before the major point number two. God delivers the power for warfare. God delivers the power for our warfare. Amen? God determines the place of our worship. And worship involves our spirit. But secondly, God delivers the power for our warfare. And warfare involves your soul. Can anybody say amen? Now remember, what are the three dimensions of your soul? Your mind, your feelings, and your what? Your will. How many of you have ever had wrong thoughts in your mind? How many of you have ever had wrong feelings in your heart? How many of you ever made wrong choices in your life? You know why? Because you got a warfare going on in your soul. And until you get born again, until you get transformed by the power of God, you don't have the power to win this warfare. And so you go through life with the lust of your flesh and the lust of your eyes dominating the decisions that you make in life. How many of you have dug yourself such a negative hole because of things that your flesh wanted, your soul wanted, your mind said, oh, you got to have that. Your body said, oh, get this for us right here and we'll be friends forever. And your mind and your emotions say, oh my goodness, this will make me feel good. This will make me happy. This will make me successful. And then you choose to do that and you end up with the rest of the story. You end up saying, oh my goodness, that didn't work for me. That didn't work out for me. And then you end up in all kinds of trouble and your life is upside down and inside out and you don't know which way to turn. And then here's the warfare, it keeps going on. Then your mind says, well, get mad at God. He's let you down. Then your mind said, God is keeping something from you. You ought to get mad at him. You can't trust him. Why do you want to get close to him? Why do you want to honor him? Why do you want to obey him? And your body's saying, oh my goodness, if you become a sold out Christian, if you become a sold out Christian, we're never going to have any fun anymore. Your body's saying, oh my goodness, look at all the fun that we've been having. Remember the things that you see? Remember the things that I show you? Remember the things I let you hear and how your body likes that? And oh my goodness, when you become a body person, Your body is described for you in three ways in the Bible. It's called a body of sin, and it's called a body of death. But then, if you ever get born again, it becomes the temple of God. Oh my goodness. And then, when the Spirit of God comes to live in your body, then it brings to life that body, it crucifies that body of sin, and it brings to life that body of death. And oh my goodness, God's got such great things in store for you. Well, look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Y'all about got me carried away there for just a minute. Let's talk about that warfare. In Galatians 5, 16, he says, but I say, walk by the whom? Woo, glory to God. Walk by the Spirit, and you will what? You will not carry out the desire of whom? Of what? Your flesh. Now, what's the flesh? It's your mind. It's your emotions and it's your will that's not sanctified to God. It's your mind and your emotions and your will that's not brought under authority of the Spirit. But your flesh wants you to do something. Your flesh wants you to feel something. Your flesh wants you to choose something. And the only way that you're going to overcome that lust, the only way you're going to overcome that passionate desire, the only way you're ever going to make wise choices is to get connected with the Spirit. For your spirit to be in contact with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit direct your spirit into what needs to be done. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Verse 17, for the flesh, look at this now, for the flesh sets its what? Your flesh sets its desire against something. What's it sets its desire against? Against the Spirit. And the Spirit sets its desire against what? Now, in case you haven't gotten it by now, they add the next part of the verse. For these things, what? The flesh and the spirit. Your soul and the Spirit of God. These things are what? In opposition. They're in conflict. They're in warfare to one another. Look at the so that statement. See the so that? So that you may not do the things that you what? How many of you want to do the right thing? But how many of you often don't do the right thing? Why? It's because there's a warfare going on. Your flesh is strong. Your flesh has seniority. Your flesh is embedded. Your flesh is tenacious. Your flesh is in partnership with your body. And your body is in partnership with your flesh. And they're saying, we don't want to be controlled by the Spirit. We don't want to do righteous things. We don't want to do holy things. Don't make us do those things. And so you got a conflict going on. But guess what? God delivers power for your warfare. Amen?
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. We're going somewhere, all right? Let me show you three statements right here, and then I want to give you some information with it. Number one, understand this. The Spirit will only serve whom? The Spirit will only serve God. Your spirit that gets made alive when you repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus, when your sins are atoned for by the blood of Jesus, when you submit yourself to the Lordship of Christ, then your spirit comes alive, and your spirit will only serve God, and the Holy Spirit will only serve God. It is not going to serve the flesh, and it's not going to serve your body. It's not going to serve the devil, and it's not going to serve the world itself. But there's a war going on. There's a conflict going on. There is a double-mindedness going on, and the Spirit is more powerful than anything else, but it's not going to partner with your flesh or my flesh. It's not going to partner with your body or my body. It's not going to partner with the world or the devil itself to do ungodly things. Look at that. Do you not know that you are a what? A temple of whom? I mean, God lives in you. God lives in you. Look at this. Say, look at this body. Oh, wretched body that this is. Oh, deteriorating body that this is. Oh, human body that this is. This is an earthen vessel, but God has placed treasure in earthen vessels. God has placed treasure inside of your body and inside my body. I want to tell you, if you put the components of our body together, it wouldn't raise in price much more than dirt. Because it's not the flesh, it's not the bones, it's not the skeletal system that makes you valuable. It's the image of God that you were created in. And it is the Spirit that God has put within you that only will serve God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And now you are the temple of God. Now remember, in Romans 6:6, it says that your body is a body of sin. In Romans 7, it says that your body is a body of death. But right here in 1 Corinthians 3, it says also that your body becomes the temple of God and He dwells in you.
Amen.
If you understand that your spirit, the Spirit will only serve God, say amen.
Amen.
All right, everything would be good if that's all that we had, right?
Amen.
But remember, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God formed and fashioned you from the dust of the ground. God breathed His Spirit into you and you became a spirit being. And God gave to you a soul. You became a living soul. So you've got that. But let's look at number two. Number two, the spirit will only serve God, but the soul will serve the spirit or the body. The soul will serve the spirit or the body. Either one. Oh my goodness. Say, that sounds like a warfare right there. That sounds like a conflict right there. Romans 7:22. He says, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 17, "For I joyfully concur. I joyfully concur with the law of God in the what? In the inner man." He's talking about the spiritual being, the spirit. I joyfully concur with that. The law of God is there. The ordinance of God is there. The presence of God is there. The authority of God is there. The power of God is there. But look at verse 23 in Romans 7:23. He says, "But I see a different law in the members of my what?" Oh my goodness. Here it is. Here's the law of the Spirit. The Spirit will only serve God. But here's the law of the soul and the body. "But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my what? And making me a prisoner of the law of what? Which is in my what? My members, my soul, and my body." Oh my goodness, if you've got a problem with alcohol, when you go by the liquor store, your body starts raging war. If you've got a problem with drugs, and you go by where the drugs are being sold, your body begins to rage a war. If you've got a problem with sex, the computer becomes an evil thing for you if you sit down to that computer. Why? Because you've got this warfare going on inside of you. If you've got a problem with impulse buying, then when you see sale 70% off, oh my goodness, you begin to have a problem, a war raging up where? In your members. Oh my goodness, and guess what? Your soul will serve the spirit and the body, or the body, but it can't serve both at the same time. And so whichever one makes the more compelling argument to it, they say, we're going to line up with you. The spirit will only serve God, but the soul will serve the spirit or the body. The spirit says, we don't need that. But the body says, oh, we've had that a long time. The spirit says, you ought not to buy that. And the soul and the body said, hey, we got to have that. That's on sale. Man, the spirit says, no, that's not best for you. Daddy's got something better for you than that. But the soul and the body say, but if we don't get it now, we won't be able to get it tomorrow. And you see how this goes on and on and on. They rage war with one another. No matter what your vice is, no matter what your temptation is, you've got a battle. You've got a warfare going on. You've got to learn that the spirit will only serve God, but the soul will serve the spirit or the body. You got to determine which one you want to be in control, which one you want to be under authority to, which one you want the consequences of. And I want to tell you, there are consequences for serving God, and there are consequences for serving the soul and or the body. Amen? I don't know about you, but in my 58, almost 59 years of life, I like the consequences of serving the spirit better than I do serving the soul or the body. Amen? Oh, my goodness. The spirit will serve God and God only. The soul will serve the spirit or the body. But number three, look at this one. The body. The body will serve the soul or the spirit. The body will serve the soul or the spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, he says, "Now, may the God of peace himself do what? Sanctify you in what degree? Entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved." Now let's look at that next outline. It's the same one from the first, but it's got a few things added, and I want to add some more to it. Amen? All right, I want you to look at this next diagram, and I want you to see the same spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit, soul, and body needs to be sanctified. That means it needs to be set apart. That means it needs to be influenced. It needs to be shaped by. It needs to be devoted to God. And so what God wants to do is He wants to sanctify, He wants to put together your spirit, your soul, and body so that the warfare that has waged has been crucified, so that the enemies that have opposed the spirit have been put down, and so that you can walk step by step under the power that God has delivered for your warfare. And that is under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the authority of the Word of God, being directed by the Spirit of God. Somebody say amen for me. All right, how does that work? How does that work? Well, here you got the Spirit. Now remember, the Spirit will only serve God. And the Spirit puts you in contact and connects you to the spiritual dimension of the universe, which is God. And what it does, it connects you to God, but it also gives you communion and direct revelation or knowledge from God. And so your spirit has to have spiritual food. And what your spirit needs is two primary things. It needs worship and it needs fellowship. Now, all those who worship God must worship God in what capacity? In spirit and in what? Ooh, glory to God. Just take a pause for the cause right there. All right? Your spirit needs to worship. That means it needs to connect with God. It needs to communicate with God. It needs to receive communication from God. And the more that your spirit receives communication from God, and the more that your spirit communicates with God, the stronger it gets, the more mature it becomes, the more knowledgeable it becomes, the more sensitive it becomes, and the more authoritative it becomes in your life. And so if you don't ever worship in spirit, if you don't ever worship in truth, then your spirit stays a small part of your daily life. And the mighty war that's waging seems more powerful than the spirit that's in you, but that's not true. Now, God has given you those three dimensions of your spirit. Now, what are they? You wrote them down a little bit earlier. Conscience, fellowship, and intuition. Can we talk briefly right here? Now, when Adam and Eve were created, their conscience... They were created a spiritual being, and so they had all three dimensions, but their conscience wasn't activated. Amen. They didn't need their conscience, because your conscience judges. There wasn't anything to judge. Everything was perfect. Everything was good. And everything was right except for one thing, and they never would have known the witness of their conscience if they never did the one wrong thing. But when they did the one wrong thing, oh my goodness, their conscience was immediately activated and their conscience began to judge what they'd done. And immediately their spirit died, but their conscience was activated. And their conscience began to teach them about guilt. You have done wrong. You have disobeyed Daddy. You have violated the law of God. But then, now that they don't have a relationship with God, now they are soulish. Now they are fleshly. Now they have a body, and now they have a soul, but they don't have a spirit to connect with God. And they are disconnected from God. They're not receiving direct revelation from God, and so now their soul begins to compensate. And their mind tells them, you know you're guilty, now you ought to be ashamed. And shame began to alienate them from their Father. And rather than going to their Father and saying, look what I've done, I'm so sorry. If they'd have done that, it'd have been a different story. But they didn't run to Daddy. They became an orphan. And an orphan doesn't know his father like that and believes his father's only interested in rules. And an orphan doesn't believe that he'll love him unconditionally. And so an orphan said, I got to provide for myself now. I got to protect myself now. I got to do for myself. So let's cover our nakedness up and let's run and hide from Daddy. And so they begin to try to hide from him. And their conscience is fully, fully activated against them. And your conscience will either accuse you or excuse you on the basis of right and wrong. But you know what? They also, your spirit gives you fellowship. That is communion and contact with God. And oh my goodness, that's what we all need, is communion and contact with God. This is a nasty world that we live in. It's not getting any better. It's going to get worse. This is an evil world that we live in. It's not going to get less evil. It's going to get more evil. This is a wrong world that we live in. It's not going to get any more right. It's going to get even more wrong. This is an upside down world, and it's never going to get right side up until Jesus Christ comes back. It's only going to stay upside down. This is an inside out world. It's never going to get right side in until Jesus Christ comes and renews all things. It's going to stay inside out. But oh my goodness, in this world that we live in, God has given us the place to worship, and God's given us the power for warfare, and it is in our spirit. And when you get born again, when I get born again, when you get connected with God's spirit to spirit, and His spirit speaks to your spirit, and your spirit speaks to His spirit, they testify to one another, said, this is my child right here, and this is my son right here, this is my daughter right here, and then you know like you know that you belong to Him. But oh my goodness, and then your spirit hears from God's spirit, and God's spirit has marching orders for you, has assignments for you, has destiny for you, has direction for you, has identity for you. And then when you come into a contact, you come into relationship, and then you say, Daddy, what do you want me to say here? What do you want me to do here? And then Daddy will talk to you. Oh my goodness, but you know there's a warfare that goes on between your spirit and your soul. You know, I had a ring at the doorbell yesterday. It was about 8:30, 9 o'clock, wasn't it, Marie? And both of us thought, who in the world would be ringing our doorbell at 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning? So I looked out the window, and sure enough, there's two men in a suit. And they had a satchel around that. And you know what my soul said? I ain't got time for this. I had already sat down studying, getting ready for this message right here. But then my spirit, I said, what do you want me to do with this, Dad? He said, I'd like you to talk to him. So I opened the door right there and say, how can I help you? And they had some literature. And with their literature, they invited me to a conference that's going to be taking place in the Congress Center. And I said, really, what's this conference about? And they said, oh, it's about the kingdom of God. I said, man, you know, I'm very interested in the kingdom of God. I said, tell me what you understand the kingdom of God is. What am I going to learn if I go to this conference about the kingdom of God? And they began to stutter and they began to stammer, you know, a little bit more. And said, well, in the end, there's going to be a one world government and a one world end times. I said, no, we could agree that. I've heard of that. I said, well, let me ask you this. How do you get into this kingdom? They really stuttered and stammered and said, well, you know, you got to... You got to believe, and you got to have works. And I said, well, which is more important, belief or works? And they said, well, I said, well, let me ask you this. I know that's a hard question for you. Are you in this kingdom? Have you entered into this kingdom? Well, nobody knows until, I said, until when? He said, well, until God decides. Well, is God making up His mind today? Is people going to enter the kingdom today? And so you can see how this is going. And they were trying to get God. I said, no, wait right here. I said, I'm very interested in this. I said, he said, well, according to Jesus, I said, well, I like what Jesus said. According to Jesus, you got to have faith and you got to have works. I said, well, how many works you got to do? I said, if you don't know if you're in the kingdom or not, when you lay your head down on your bed tonight, are you going to lay your head down having done enough works today or not? You know, to get in. How will Jehovah tell you that you've done enough works to make his demands met? Well, I said, we really don't have time for this. I said, no. I said, and then they said, well, let's go to, in Revelation 19, they're trying to get back on their training. And I said, I know I've got you off of your schooling, and I got you off of your template there. I said, but this is kind of curious to me. I'm very interested in the kingdom of God. And so they said, well, in Revelation 19, just read Revelation 19, Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4 right here. And they gave me their little Bible. And so I said, my goodness, look at that. And they said, what? I said, man, before you get to Revelation 21, you get to Revelation 20. And they said, what? I said, well, look right here in verse 11 through 15. It says there's going to be a great white throne. And it said that the small, the dead and the great are going to stand before God. And they're going to give an account according to their works. Oh, my goodness, everybody's works have been accounted by God. He's been counting up how many works you've done. But guess what? You're not getting in on your works. You're getting in on whether your name's in the book of life. Look at that. You see it right there in your Bible. It says that right there. Well, we got to go. Obviously, you're not interested. And I said, no, I'm very interested. I said, what you got to decide is, why did God assign my house to you today? You got to figure that out. And I said, I know, you got a whole lot more than you normally get when you ring a doorbell. But you rang the doorbell today, and God put me right here in front of you with these questions for you to consider. So why did I? He said, well, you're not interested. Let me give us our literature back. And I said, well, hey, before you go, can we pray together? No, we don't do that. And I said, we'll pray in Jehovah's name. And I said, which one of Jehovah's name do you want to use? Do you need provision? We'll talk to you in Jehovah Jireh. Do you need healing? We'll talk to you about Jehovah Rapha. Man, they're walking down the step in the sidewalk by then. I said, come on back. Let's pray in Jehovah's name. Let's pray in Jehovah's name. Oh, you're not interested in this. You. And I said, listen, you're not being persecuted today. You're being witnessed to today. And so, now you see, if I'd listened to my soul, I never would have got into that. But listen to the Spirit. You know, the Spirit saying, Let's talk to these right here. Let's say this right. I said, and when you get there, you've got to say, all right, Spirit, what do you want me to say? Of all the things we could say, what are we going to say? And so then we got into that with the kingdom of God. Very interested in the kingdom of God. Amen? So how does that work? You've got your conscience. You've got your fellowship. And you've got intuition. Intuition. Now, what is it about intuition that we need to know real quickly here? Oh my goodness, y'all done got me over time here. When you are operating in the fullness of the Spirit, on your spirit, intuition is a direct sense of God. You intuitively know the presence of God. You intuitively know the presence of God in you, and you know the presence of God around you. But you intuitively know the Word from God, revelation from God, knowledge from God. As 1 Corinthians 2 says, eye has not seen this. Ear has not heard this. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for you. That's nothing to do with heaven, though all of those things are going to be true about heaven. Amen. That has to do with your daily life in the Spirit. Read 1 Corinthians 2. All of that's about the spirit man and the natural man. The Spirit-filled man and the flesh-filled man. And so when you've got the Spirit in full operation, you have intuitively, you can sense the presence of God. Haven't you ever happened that? I mean, sometimes when you walk, we've had them walk by out there, and they can feel and sense the presence of God. And in here and in your life, you can do that. And so you got to have that. And so there are two things that feed your spirit, and that is worship and prayer. Now, all kinds of praying. Listen how the Apostle Paul talks about that. He says, I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. That's, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my soul. I will pray with the Spirit that God's given me, and I will pray with the mind and the emotions and the will that God's given me. With all prayers, all manner of prayers, and all manner of petitions, pray without ceasing. Why? Because your spirit has the ability to connect you with God and to connect God with you, and that's how you feed your spirit. But guess what? If we never pray, if we never do that, then we don't feed our spirit. If we don't, and the Word of God, you got to fill your spirit with the Word of God. And when you fill your spirit with the Word of God, you fill your spirit with the Spirit of God, you fill your spirit with prayers with God, with communication with God, oh my goodness, your spirit grows up like a lion. And it becomes strong, and you become connected with it, and you be able to recognize it, and it doesn't sound like a mystery to you when the Spirit rises up and says, you know, the Spirit's got a divine, and the Spirit's got something He wants to say. And we need to recognize the of the Spirit, amen? Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. And then your soul, you have to choose what you're going to think on. Finally, my brethren, think on these things. Whatever is lovely, whatever is honest, whatever is virtuous, whatever is wholesome, whatever is of good reputation, think on these things. And then your body, oh my goodness, I've got to fast forward here, but your body, you know, has the capacity to serve sin. Or your body has the capacity to serve God. Amen? Amen? Now, your five senses can be trained to only want God and godliness. But they have to be trained. But oh my goodness, you've got an unfair fight going on out there if you never feed your spirit. Because all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, are constantly bombarding your soul, are constantly bombarding your mind. And whatever goes in your mind begins to affect your feelings. And whatever affects your mind and your feelings ultimately will influence your choices. So, oh my goodness, how many of you have made wrong choices because you've had the wrong thoughts and wrong feelings? Oh, that's because we have either grieved the Spirit, quenched the Spirit, or our spirit's dead. And we've got to determine whether our spirit's dead, grieved, quenched, or filled. Oh my goodness, I don't know about you, but I want a filled spirit. Amen? Amen. I want a baptized spirit. Amen. Oh my goodness, I want my spirit to be alive. I want it to roar like a lion. Amen? Amen. And then the natural world, the natural physical world will come to your body. How many of you have thought this and said this and done this? Oh man, I'd get up and pray today, but man, my back hurts. Man, I'd get up and I'd spend time in the Word, but you know, I was up late last night. You see, that's your body talking to you. That's your body saying, don't get into the presence of God. And then your soul jumps in on that, your mind said, oh my goodness, yeah. Yeah. You know, you don't need to be in your Word. You don't need to be doing that. And so you got two teaming up against one. But oh my goodness, one is more strong than two if you'll feed it. All right. And how many of you know this to be true? That even when your body has told you how tired you are and remind you of everything that hurts and broken and not going to be fixed again, and your soul's in agreement, non-sense, and amen, stay in this bed. But then your spirit said, oh my goodness, I hear the rumbling. Oh my goodness, he's not in the fire. He's not in the wind. He's not in the rain. But oh, that small, still voice saying, oh, I got something I want to say to you this morning. I got something I want to talk to you about today. Oh, my goodness. How many of you? Now you've overcome that battle of the body and the soul today because you made it here today. How many of you, your body tells you, we don't need to go to the house of God today. You know how tired you are. You know how worn down you are. You know how to... But oh, my goodness, that's usually when the Spirit's got some food waiting on it when you go there. All right, so what do we need to do? What do we need to do? One of three things right here, or all three things today, right here, and we close it with this right here. Number one, you got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to receive Him in order to be regenerated, in order for your spirit to be regenerated and made alive. How do you do that? You simply confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Can somebody say amen? October 21st, 1980, I understood with my mind, and my body was saying, stay here, don't go there. My will was saying, boy, you don't need to go down there. But oh my good, the Spirit of God was saying, if you just will, if you just trust me, if you just believe in me, if you just surrender to me, I'll make all things new with you. And oh my goodness, I made my way to an altar that night, and I said, oh God, I put you first tonight. And guess what? His Spirit came in and resurrected my spirit and connected with me, and I worship God in spirit and truth right there. Somebody needs to do that here today. Just believe in there. If somebody's ready to do that, I'd like for you to all to say this prayer with me out loud, okay? Say, oh Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising from the dead. I believe in your name. I receive you as my Savior and my life. Come into my spirit. Fill me with your spirit. Baptize my spirit with your spirit. Thank you for regenerating my spirit. Praise the Lord. I am born anew. I am a child of God. Lord Jesus, I love you. And I praise you right now. Give him praise in the house of the Lord. When we pray that kind of a prayer and we mean it from within, this is what happens. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. When you pray that prayer of surrender and you give the control of your life to him in lordship, then your spirit is mingled with his spirit. Your spirit is made alive, and now you are a spirit being filled with his presence and ready to activate the spiritual dimension of your life. Get ready for the most exciting journey you've ever been on in your life. Amen? Amen. Here's second. If you've already done that, and even if you've done it right here today for the first time, from this day forward, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Set your mind on the Spirit by reading the Word of God, by singing the Word of God, and meditating on the Word with prayer. Listen to Romans 8:5. For those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things according to the flesh. But those who are of the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Amen? Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. Oh my goodness, but God gives us the power for our warfare. Amen? And number three, the sinful practices that our fallen bodies are used to have to be put to death by the Spirit of God and the Spirit inside of us. Amen? Romans 8:13, if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. He's talking about the abundance. You can't enjoy abundance if you're still dabbling with the deeds of sin from your body. What your body sees, what your body hears, what your body tastes, what your body touches, what your body senses, you can't feed it with just the junk food of the world and expect to have abundant life. But when you feed it with the Spirit and you put the lust of the flesh down and the deeds of your body down, then your body comes alive to God. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies to God a living sacrifice. Saying, God, this is a temple that you live in, so I'm going to present it to you for worship. Not for sin, not for bondage, not for addiction, not for smoke, not for any other thing like that. But it's for you, oh God. It's for you. And when you do that, you come alive unto God. If you are, by the Spirit, putting to death the deeds of the body, you will have abundant life. Amen? So now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. spirit, soul, and body. How much of you is sanctified to the Lord Jesus today? Is your spirit sanctified? Is your soul sanctified? Is your body sanctified? If not, present it to God today.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.